I've told you this before, but it's very appropriate for our lesson tonight, and that is that my family had sheep at one point. And when I say sheep, we had two lambs, Isabella and Midge, and we bought them cute little lambs, and these were for my sisters. I had a horse, my sisters got sheep. And it was just a short time. It didn't last too long, because as they grew up and became unruly, and I don't care what it says about shepherding, it just doesn't work. At least that we didn't get it to work. But nevertheless, I think we're all aware that the scriptures use sheep, okay, to illustrate people. And specifically, it uses it to illustrate followers of God, whether it be Israel or whether it be those in the church. Now, obviously, we understand that those who watch over sheep are called a shepherd. Pastor is actually a term that comes from that root word, poimen, which means to shepherd, and to feed. And we're going to look tonight in John chapter 10, because in John chapter 10, we have Jesus stating a proverb or giving an allegory where he calls himself the good shepherd. Now, if you've been attending for any length of time, you remember a couple years ago we went through John chapters 1 through 9. And I've been wanting to get back into the Gospel of John. We haven't, I don't like to leave things uncompleted or incomplete. And so we're going to pick up from John chapter 10 and march through the Gospel, Lord willing, and just seek to discover more of God's heart as displayed through Jesus Christ. I want to remind us tonight of the purpose or the thrust of John's Gospel. Now, if you've read through all four Gospels, you know that the Gospel of John is different. It's different in the way that it approaches Jesus' life. It's got a lot of new content. Some overlaps, but a lot of new content. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 provide the purpose of John's writing. Listen to what it says. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And you notice there that as John communicates, notice the thrust is belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life through his name. And as we study through the Gospel of John, you see that theme of life coming over and over and over again. Life, eternal life. John chapter 10, context, let's look at that. Context, John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who had been blind from birth. And it's quite a story. He heals him. It's on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees take issue with this. And the man that was healed, he just doesn't understand what their problem is. They get angry with him. They excommunicate him. He's thrown out of the synagogue. I mean, and Jesus goes and he finds him. In verse 35, John chapter 9, 35, Jesus heard they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? That is the man who had been blind. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now, while this is taking place, there must have been other onlookers, some Pharisees, some Jews, some other disciples possibly. We don't know exactly, but there seems to have been at least a small group of onlookers. Verse 39, Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Now, if you're familiar at all with the New Testament and the Gospels, you understand that Jesus and the Pharisees didn't see quite eye to eye. They had a very different view. The Pharisees, they were a very religious group of men. They were considered the religious leaders of the Jewish people. They held very strictly to the Jewish law, and they had also added hundreds of other additional commandments to the law, creating a very legalistic system to the point where it was restricted even how far you could go or walk on the Sabbath day. And so it was a very restrictive, legalistic type system, and it was established and it set them up as higher above the people, as leaders, as those that would be looked at as righteous because they were the ones that were upholding this law, and they were supposedly keeping it as well. So Jesus here, after he has healed this man and understands the Pharisees and their issue, he makes it very clear his intent and his purpose. And they don't have a teachable heart. They aren't ready to receive what the message that Jesus has, the message of life that he is giving. And so they claim to see, they claim to know, but in their very claim, they condemn themselves as sinners. And Jesus comparing them to the blind man, who spiritually ignorant and blind, but yet so longing and desiring the truth, and he comes face to face with Jesus Christ, and he believes and he sees. And so those that were blind are made to see. Now we come to chapter 10, and really the root issue that is seen here is leadership. What's the best kind of leadership? Who's the best shepherd? Who is the one who can care best for the flock, for the believing people of Israel? When I say believing people of Israel, those that are embracing Jesus and believing in him. And so as we have that in our minds, let's read down through this. And again, the Gospels is story. Majority of it is story. It's narrative with Jesus teaching in the midst of it. And so it tends to be very interesting. If you're like me, I like to think in pictures. I picture the setting and the scene. I picture the facial expressions of Jesus as he's saying these things, remembering he's speaking to people that are dead set against what he is doing, dead set against those that are believing in him, to the point where they excommunicate them out of the synagogue. They don't care for them. They get rid of them. And so with that in mind, John 10, 1, Verily, verily, Jesus says, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Now this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. I'm going to stop there and just kind of get a grasp on what's being said here. First of all, this is not a parable. I know in our King James translation it says parable, but the actual root word is not parable. It's a word that's used for proverbs. Or this could be considered an allegory. Parables, that word is not parable. The Greek word for parable is not found in the book of John. I found that very interesting. The Gospel of John does not have parables. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they've got parables. They do not have the proverb, this kind of language here. And so again, you see a difference in these Gospels. So what we are dealing with here is more of an allegory, more of an implied comparison, not an expressed comparison. In other words, we're not saying that this is that, kind of like Jesus does when he talks about the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, okay? That's more of a parable type situation. Here what you have is an allegory where there's an implied comparison. In other words, there is, you look at the details of this story and account, and you can gather implications of who and what is being dealt with. And you take Jesus' interpretation, and that will come, as the concrete definitions of what you see in the proverb. Now, maybe that was confusing to you, but I think you'll see as we go along that Jesus does make very clear clarifications of who is what and so on. So, I do believe that this is still in the context of the blind man just being healed. I believe this is the same setting, the same group of people. The Pharisees are still there. They're still stewing over what has just taken place. He has just called them, basically, you are sinners. You claim to see, but you are blind. And so, in dealing with them, he reverts to this allegory to describe a true proven shepherd, a true leader. Now, let's look at these in detail. In verse 1, you see that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. A thief is one who takes something that is not his. A robber is someone who takes things by force. Now, in these cultures and in this area of the world, shepherding is and still was and still is a very prominent profession. Now, when I say prominent, that's probably not the best word. It's a prevalent. It's there's a lot of shepherds, and the way they shepherded in this area was they would have these sheepfolds that they would establish across the countryside in their grazing grounds. And these sheepfolds sometimes would be a cave. Other times they would build rock walls and put thorns over them and establish that. And there would always just be one door. And this would be the safe haven for the sheep in the evening. And the sheep would be led into there, and that's where they would stay. There would be the door, and as we see in this context, there would often be a doorkeeper. I've often read as well that sometimes the shepherd himself would be the door. So, you see there's a protective sheepfold here. Now, when you see that he immediately now goes and he talks about one who doesn't enter in by the door, he's a thief and the robber. You're understanding here that he's going to draw out and define for us and explain who is rightful to come through that door and who isn't. Who is the thief and the robber and who is not? Now, verse 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. All right, so that gives us a clue into the fact that the shepherd of the sheep is the one who uses the door. A thief and a robber, they climb in some other way. So this gives us this point. There is a right manner of shepherding. There is a right way of caring for the people. There is a right way, a true and only way. And you see, as the Gospel of John carries on, how that brings to light Jesus Christ. Verse 3, to him that porter openeth, or the doorkeeper openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and the calleth his own, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now, this is something that is, from my studies, very common in the Orient, where they would lead their sheep. The shepherds lead their sheep. That's not how all shepherds do it. Sometimes they drive the sheep. We have a sheep farm down the road here, and I have seen them driving the sheep. They drive their vehicles behind them. They have dogs behind them, and they are herding the sheep and pushing them into a certain area or place. In this area, they don't have fences or anything like that. The sheep are led by the shepherd. We're seeing these characters. We're seeing a thief, robbers, okay? We're seeing shepherd. We're seeing sheep. Verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. All right, so you see that there is a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. It's a known relationship. In verse 5, the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from them, for they know not the voice of strangers. So you have basically two, you have a positive and a negative. You have the thieves, the robbers, and the stranger so far. And then you have the sheep and the shepherd. And the sheep and the shepherd go together. The thieves, robbers, and strangers are ones that seek to come over and rob and cause trouble. Okay? Now, in our context, picture now the Pharisees are standing there listening to this. But what it says in verse 6 is they don't get it. They don't understand. Now, I don't know if I would have understood, but the fact is, they should understand. Why? Because they are the scholars of the Old Testament. Go to Psalm chapter 23, maybe? What does Psalm 23 tell us? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you could go on there and just talks about a good, caring shepherd. Go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Excuse me. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Look down at verse 23. Actually, let's go to verse 20, just for context. Verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them. And he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. These are all books and prophecies that the Pharisees would have had access to. Okay? Now, of course, this passage in Ezekiel chapter 34 is confronting those leaders of Israel who are not taking adequate care, proper care of the people, taking advantage of them. Back to John. So, the allegory is now explained or further divulged as we continue in verse 7. Let me get verse 6 and following. The parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Again, they're confused, those that are listening. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, what do you notice here? Jesus is explaining the allegory. He is giving some definitions to terms that he's used in the previous five verses, verses 1 through 5. What does he say? I am the what? I'm the door. I am the door of the sheep. Now, if we go back to this story in verses 1 through 5, you see the significance of the door. The door is the right way, and it's the only way into the sheepfold. That is the proper entrance for the shepherd. I mean, I trust this is resonating with you as you consider Jesus Christ. And John, just as we go throughout the book, I mean, I've just got John 14:6 ringing in my mind. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But here he is, he's talking to this group of people. Some believe, some are against him. And here he is, I am the door of the sheep. And the context is leadership, shepherding. Who's the proper leader here? Who's doing the best job in caring for the sheep? And as you look at this, I hope you understand and see that the sheep here are defined as those who are called, chosen of God. Because it's the care of the sheep that is significant. These are God's chosen ones. These are God's precious sheep. And he doesn't want hirelings coming after them. He wants the right shepherd leading them. Now, in verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. My understanding of that is those leaders that have ministered or led in Israel before him, namely the Pharisees, the scribes, they were there before he came to this earth, was born. They had a long and established history of leading the people of Israel at this point. And here, I believe Jesus is referring to them as thieves and robbers. The context kind of helps with that, because what did they do in chapter 9? You have a man who was healed, who is believing in Jesus, and the scribes and Pharisees treat him horribly. They do not listen to him. They treat him with disrespect, and they kick him out of their assembly. You got to understand something. In the Jewish culture, the synagogue, well, that was their main meeting place. That meant a lot to be a part of that. And if you were not allowed to be a part of that place, then it was a shunning. It was you lost status in society. It'd be almost as if this building over here was a community center, and everybody that was in this community was a part of it. But all of a sudden, you did something, and you weren't allowed to come to that anymore. Would you feel part of the community anymore? Not really. The synagogue had become that central place. And indeed, in the book of Acts, you see, where does Paul go when he ministers in the cities? Goes to the synagogues. So, verse 9, he again says, I am the door. Well, let me finish verse 8, because there's something significant there. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You know what that tells me there? Is that Jesus knows that there are people that have not embraced the teachings of the Pharisees. There are true seekers out there. There are those that God has called for his own. And this blind man, I believe, is one example. This man who is healed, he has believed, and he worshiped. And he is not listening to the voice of those religious leaders. Verse 9, I am the door, again Jesus says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. So, kind of as we talk about leadership here, Jesus says, I am the door. In other words, I am the access. I am the way to salvation, to life. And the picture here is, you shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's life, there's a peace, there's freedom in Jesus Christ. So as we're talking about the right leadership, proven shepherd, he starts here by saying, I am the door, I am the way, I am the access. And then in verse 10, he again clarifies the difference. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And the comparison is great. The thief, they're about stealing, killing, and destroying. These religious leaders, that's what they are about. They are out for their own good and for the power that they hold over their people, over the people. And they will do whatever it takes to gain and hold on to that power. And if it means hurting or destroying a sheep, a person, then that's what they will do. Exemplified by John chapter 9. But Jesus, I am come that they might have life. Again, that theme of life. And that they might have it more abundantly. That's a precious, precious promise right there. You know, and I trust as we close our time out tonight that that promise will ring in your heart this week. You know, often the devil is referred to as a thief. And in fact, in John chapter 8, he's referred to as the devil. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. He speaks a lie. He speaks of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. And you know, and we understand that the cosmic battle is between the prince of this world, the devil, and our sovereign God, Lord Jesus Christ. And the thief is about destroying, stealing, killing. But our God, Jesus Christ, is about life, giving that life. And that we might have that life in abundance. An abundant life. God, encourage your people through this truth. And I pray that we would find life and peace and abundance in your Son this week. Thank you for saving us. And I thank you for the truth of your precious word. You are our shepherd. And you're the best shepherd we could ever have. In Jesus' name, amen.